Okay, many thanks to the organizing committee for this opportunity to share with you this research about the celebration of the Bastille Day in the Shanghai French Concession. Some of you might have visited or heard of this French Concession in Shanghai. Nowadays, it is a tourist destination. It existed between the year 1849 and 1943 as a semi-colonial French enclave. Already in the year 1899, in a travelogue written by an Austrian journalist, Paul Goldman, this quarter was highly praised because everything was just like Paris. He also tells us that July 14th was a big day in the Shanghai French Concession. What attracts my attention in this paragraph is that this journalist further explains that July 14th is the French national festival celebrated under the present Republican regime. The mentioning of this indicates that different from nowadays, 100 years ago, July 14th was not yet universally known as the French National Day. And in effect, it was only in 1880 that the Third Republic decided to take this date, of the storming of Bastille as an official national festival. Strikingly, just 1 year later, here I quote from a newspaper of that time, in accordance with instructions received from home government, the festival was brought to the Shanghai French Concession. I'm sure that you are very familiar with the thesis that festivals are realms of memories, lieux de mémoire, and also invented traditions, which, despite their impression as long-standing, are often of recent origin. There is a huge literature about the formalization and ritualization of the Bastille Day in France. As France emerged as a colonial power, the festival also went beyond the metropole. My research investigates how symbols and rituals associated with July 14th were appropriated in the Chinese territory, what were the French purposes, and what were the Chinese responses. Firstly, I'd like to briefly establish a chronology so that you have an idea about what happened. I would say that in the early years, roughly before 1920s, the celebration was very simple and mainly catering to the French community in Shanghai. Chinese residents did not really take part, and they were even perceived as potential troublemakers. For example, in 1884, the relationship between France and China got tenser because of the Sino-French War. On the eve of July 14th of that year, French soldiers were under arms, prepared in case of popular riots. In coordination, the governor of the Chinese quarter closed the gate of the walled Chinese town at 7 p.m. to prevent any disturbance. However, things changed by the 1920s. With the improving status of the Chinese population in economic and political affairs in the French Concession, as well as the rising tide of Chinese nationalism, the French authorities in Shanghai changed their strategy of celebration and endeavored to augment the Chinese participation in the festival. Here is a program from 1929. The celebration starts on July 13th with a lantern competition, followed by a torchlight procession. And on July 14th, it is an entire day of festive activities, starting with a flag raising ceremony, a military review, followed by recreational activities during the day, and an illumination of the French bond in the evening. The program is quite stable all the way until 1940, when mourning for soldiers died in the European battlefields took place of celebration. Since I don't have much time, I'm going to mainly talk instead of talking about the first section of my paper, which is about the spectacle. In this presentation, I'm going to focus on the spectators, especially the Chinese spectators. So where did the Chinese came into this picture? Before that, some photos. This is the Kukaza Park, where it is a Jardin à la Française, and it is the place where took place, for example, the military review, the lantern competition, etc. And this is the military review. It should be noted that not only French soldiers and French troops were under review, but also there were Vietnamese soldiers and Chinese bodyguards. This is the torchlight procession, which to my understanding is a French tradition, but this event was also creatively remade in the using Chinese traditions, such as the dragon dance with this dragon, paper dragon mounted on bamboo sticks. And this is the biggest event, the illumination of the French bonds at the evening of July 14th, when all the buildings in the French concession were illuminated. And also you can see a temporarily built triumphal arch with the letter RF also illuminated. Okay, so I'm going to talk about two examples, and hear some very interesting voices from newspapers of that time. The first example is the torchlight procession. It was previously headed purely by French residents in Shanghai. Starting in the 1920s, however, local French newspaper started to boast that not only thousands of Chinese students and firemen joined the procession, but also an enormous number of Chinese people stood by and cheered very enthusiastically. This enthusiasm was seen as a sign of their positive feelings towards the French. I'm not going to read this paragraph because you can find this kind of official accounts like year after year in the local French newspaper, and it's really cliché. Let's go to some more interesting accounts of the torchlight procession. The question is, did the Chinese participants and onlookers necessarily mean that they support the French municipality in Shanghai? People can also gather together to express their protest. Interestingly, in the July of 1925, just 2 months after the breakout of the anti-imperialist May 30th movement in Shanghai, the torchlight procession was said to be spoiled by Chinese marchers. I find this observation in a correspondence to a local English newspaper, so probably written by a British or American. It was a wonderful sight, the torchlight procession in the French town last night in celebration of France's national fête. And one of the most attractive spectacles seen was the long trail of Chinese students. And what were they shouting at with the applause of their compatriots? We must drive them out from China, undesirable foreigners, etc. After reading this, I went to the Chinese newspaper, but I could not find any reference to any friction on that very date. It is difficult now to speculate what actually happened. Even so, I think the very fact that the nature of the Chinese participation was questioned confirmed that the spectacle and its spectators were subject to a contestation of meanings. The second example is equally under debate, and it is the illumination of the French bonds. It was a very successful attraction and inviting all walks of life to entertain themselves in a world of lights, as an English newspaper narrates in very poetic language. lights winked on in suns, shields, triumphal arches, and hundreds of other decorations all over French town, putting it in a gay blaze of color for the big event. An enormous mass went to see the illumination, and not surprisingly, most were Chinese. One journalist writes that it was scarcely a pleasure to foreigners, particularly pedestrians, to walk along these thoroughfares to inspect the various sights to be seen, because the roads were already packed with Chinese people. What I want to suggest at this point is that the spectators of the festival also became a spectacle. The key debate is the very definition not only of the spectacle, but also of the spectators. So how were the Chinese onlookers of the illumination described? I find this article written by a French. This article was so fascinating that I'm going to share with you in some length. He was in his car and moving very slowly across Chinese crowd. And he said, "Cependant, cette foule est presque sacrée. Le bruit qui domine est celui des tramways et des autos. Oui, là, nous sentons bien que nous ne sommes pas chez nous. Cela manque de musique, de rire. Les illuminations détournent l'attention générale de ceux qui sont à la fois acteurs et spectateurs." So a rough translation. The crowd is not at all shouting. The dominating noise is that of tramways and cars. Yes, there we feel not at home. There's a lack of music and laughter. The illumination gets attention from those who are at the same time actors and spectators. So in what spectacle are they actors? Let's continue with this article. Ils sont assis dans une position incommode, ou encore groupés sur quelques pierres ou galifouchons sur les branches des arbres qui portent l'avenue Joffre. En face du marché, le spectacle est surprenant et comique. On construit de nouvelles habitations. Sur les échafaudages, des bandes de coulis. Ils ne se parlent pas, ne crient pas, ne remuent pas. On dirait des figures de pierre, ou mieux encore, des peintures murales. So, they sat at inconvenient places, gathered on rocks, or walls, or tree branches. Across the market is a surprising and comical spectacle. People construct new habitations. Coolies are on the scaffolding. They don't talk, nor shout, nor move. They are like stone figures or murals. From this description, I don't know how you make sense of it, but I kind of feel that this French man does not feel comfortable among all these Chinese people. However, he has to explain away this awkwardness. So let's continue with this article. Que peuvent-ils bien penser? Rien sans doute. Ils contemplent le magnifique spectacle fait pour eux, alors qu'ils sont installés sur des planches sales. La population chinoise le sait bien que la fête est un fête du peuple. Cela lui plaît et elle manifeste son plaisir en considérant cette fête comme l'une des siennes. So, what could they be possibly thinking? Of course, nothing. They are contemplating the magnificent spectacle made for them. The Chinese population knows that the festival is a festival of the people. It makes them happy, and they manifest their happiness, considering this festival as one of their own. It seems that he tries to convince himself and also his readers that the Chinese population were very satisfied and very cooperative, even though his narratives before read a little bit awkward. And this is almost the only French account I can find that betrays this degree of anxiety. As for other French narratives, most defend the Chinese spectators as happy, docile, and admirers of French civilization and republicanism. At the same time, alternative definitions were made in the Chinese printing press. Radical students with anti-imperialist feelings were far from happy in seeing the festive crowd. Here, an article defined the crowd into three categories. Firstly, the French, relying on their troops and weapons, occupied Chinese territories and happily celebrated their national day with no scruples. Secondly, the enemies' soldiers, at the back and call of their French masters, indifferently played around in order to ingratiate the masters. Thirdly, the Chinese, as numerous as Mongols, crowded together to seek entertainment at the risk of being beaten by the French police. What an unselfish attitude in times of national crisis. The presence of Vietnamese soldiers, in particular, provided a reference for nationalist-minded writers to criticize and give warnings to their fellow countrymen. The author was highly distressed that the display of a strong nation of nationalism of France did not inspire the desire for a strong nation-state of China, and that the startling vision of the Vietnamese, a colonized people, did not sound the alarm. Another recurrent accuse was that Chinese people shouldn't enjoy the French festival whilst neglecting the Double Ten Day, which is the national day of Republican China after 1912. For example, a Chinese author makes the following comment. I remember taking a stroll in the Chinese Quarter on Double Ten Day, and the sight was as if the country faced huge crisis. No house at all was decked with lanterns or colored streamers. Compared to the national day of theirs, the difference is like that between heaven and earth. This phenomenon is not desirable because it signifies that the country is going to perish. Their national day is now celebrated on our lands, and our compatriots all joyfully went out to celebrate it, forgetting that we also have a national day of ours. To my knowledge, what he said and many similar accusations were probably not true, because the Double Ten Day was also a very big event here. The issue then is not what the Chinese festive crowd was like in reality. It is more about how people from different political stances put forward definitions about the Chinese spectators. It is totally possible that the people just went out to enjoy themselves, unaware that they became an object too of the spectacle, examined and commented on by foreign and Chinese observers. To conclude, from this small case study, we see a variety of discourses proposed to characterize firstly the spectacle and then its spectators. In this presentation, I didn't spend time talking about spectacle. I think it's enough to say that, in short, from the French side, the spectacle was very carefully staged. It was supposed to be the festival of France, festival of the expansion of French ideologies. It was the festival of the French concession, showcasing the capacity of the French municipality in Shanghai. From the Chinese side, after viewing the carefully staged festival, there are voices of illusion taking France as an example of political liberalism, democracy, and republicanism. But especially after the 1920s, there's also disillusion about French militarism and absolutism. A second layer here is that with political climate changing, the Chinese spectators were transformed into another spectacle, and anxiously examined by the French and a group of Chinese intellectuals who framed what they saw or what they imagined to see into larger discourses of national shame. Their claims about the Chinese crowd did not necessarily conform with the reality. We don't know if the students on the street shouted, driving out the foreigners. We don't know if the crowd comprehended these any special political meanings behind the celebration, but the printing press was highly concerned with their mentality, and I think this shows that this shows the anxiety inherent in this semi-colonial space. no one is confident about the future of the Shanghai French Concession, nor of China in general. Therefore, the festival became also a space to be appropriated in their symbolic struggles to legitimate their pursuits and to nurture a public that is favorable to their interests. So this is my presentation. Thank you.